The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today and next week, we're doing something very different and innovative on Healthy Ulster Radio. We have a two-part program because the topic is really rich and interesting, and it is maternal health and wellness, maternal health disparities, the impacts of the COVID pandemic on reproductive health. And in the second show, we'll be talking about the services, innovative practices and services that Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston has created to help women and their families. And we are very fortunate to have a very distinguished guest with us. And she is Dr. Ashonda St. John. Dr. St. John is a board certified specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. She is the new chair of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston. She's also the new medical director of Advanced OBGYN Associates, and they're located at 373 Broadway, diagonally across from Health Alliance's Broadway campus. Advanced OBGYN Associates and Health Alliance are both members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, also known as WMC Health. Dr. St. John has been an OBGYN for more than 20 years. She was most recently at New York Presbyterian's Allen Hospital in Manhattan. She earned her medical degree at New York Medical College and had her internship and residency at Danbury Hospital in Connecticut through the Yale School of Medicine. And she dedicates her work not just to improving women's health, but also, in her own words, and she's going to tell us all about that, to creating quality solutions for maternal racial disparities. Dr. St. John, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. It's so nice to have you with us.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Dr. St. John, we're still living in the COVID world of the coronavirus pandemic. So I'd like to start off by asking a question about that. What effect, if any, does COVID have on pregnancy?
Yeah, so COVID, the COVID virus has had such an impact on pregnant women, also lactating women, and also patients who are desiring to conceive. But most importantly, the risk of the severity of the illness of COVID-19 is very impactful and increased in pregnant people, also as the increased risk of death from COVID-19. So when we compare this to non-pregnant people, they are severely at risk for ICU admissions, mechanical ventilation, and also death. And so this makes them high risk for progression of this severe COVID-19 illness. And in addition to that, we have to look at what the impact of COVID-19 and the global pandemic as a whole has had on pregnant people. So in addition to having a heightened risk of more severe symptoms of COVID, they've also have had increased maternal mental health issues, increased anxiety and depression. There's also a fear of the hospital experience. There's been increased domestic violence. There's also been a decreased compliance with prenatal care visits because of the fear of infection, and also a strain on the healthcare infrastructure as a whole. So women during this pandemic have also been more likely to lose their incomes due to work-related attendance or just the loss of employment. But also working mothers have struggled with the increased childcare demands with homeschooling. So there has been so many impact on pregnant people as a whole. So it's very important that we kind of strive towards understanding and empathy when helping pregnant people during their journey of pregnancy, one that should be rewarded with such a beautiful outcome of a baby during this global pandemic.
Yeah, and you know, in hearing about the subject in the news, you know, always it just made me wonder that, you know, it should be a time of celebration and joy, and yet when it happens in the middle of COVID, it takes on a whole other dimension. And you know, so I'm glad you brought those challenges up. So we know, Dr. St. John, that there are three different vaccines that have been authorized for use in the U.S., Moderna and Pfizer, which were created utilizing similar technology in the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is back online after being put on a temporary hold. And, you know, I wonder about this because I work at the vaccination clinics, and one of the questions in the screening is that they want to know, are you pregnant? Are you planning to become pregnant? And the American Academy of Obstetrics and Gynecology says that the vaccine should not be withheld from women, but it didn't come right out and recommend that women should get it. So tell us about what your thoughts are on whether pregnant women or women who are planning on getting pregnant or breastfeeding or planning to breastfeed should get vaccinated.
Yeah, so the official statement from ACOG is one that vaccinations should not be withheld, which you're correct in saying, but also it is encouraged to, it should be available and should be administered to pregnant individuals, lactating mothers, and also people who are desiring future fertility. And so what we want to do is foster an idea of vaccine confidence and also make sure that we're respectful and address vaccine hesitancy that also exists. So it's important to make sure that we as providers educate our patients on myths versus facts. So, you know, there's a myth that the vaccine was rushed and it isn't safe, whereas the fact is researchers took no safety shortcuts and large studies shown that the vaccine is safe. There was also a myth that the vaccine changes your DNA. Well, the fact is that it's impossible for the vaccine to change your DNA. There's also a myth that you can get COVID-19 from the vaccine. And the fact is that the vaccine does not contain the live virus strain. Also, there are a myth that it can make women infertile, and there's no evidence that the vaccine causes infertility. So when we look at the two different vaccines that are available for pregnant people, and those are both the Pfizer and the Moderna, okay, both provide 100% prevention of hospitalization and death prevention for pregnant people.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. You know, this is the transformative care that we need in the height of this global pandemic. You know, this vaccine can help so many. And COVID-19 has touched so many homes and so many families. I have to say, prior to coming up to Kingston, I worked in New York City, but also my residence was in Queens, zip code of 11369, which is Elmhurst, Queens, which was one of the largest hit areas of COVID-19. And so we have to know that we have to be quite forceful in educating our public in terms of the impact of COVID, but also what the vaccination can do in terms of transforming the rates of COVID-19 and also the severe illness and deaths that it can cause.
And we're seeing that, already, even right here in Ulster County. And of course, the public health department plays a large role in that education process. And I just wanted to point out that the clinical trials for Pfizer and Moderna included in excess of 70,000 people with no serious side effects. So I think that says a lot about the safety factor.
Yeah, and we're getting more and more information that's coming out. And one of the latest is that women who are vaccinated earlier in their pregnancy, it shows that the newborns have a higher rate of antibodies. So we're helping moms, but we're also helping babies and newborns. And so we just want to make sure that education is provided to all populations so that they know that they can kind of find confidence in the vaccination process.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. St. John, you're an expert in maternal health disparities among people of different races, ethnic backgrounds, ages, education, and socioeconomic factors. In particular, can you talk to us about maternal mortality and how the United States fares when it comes to maternal mortality, and specifically with respect to minority and other underserved communities?
And thank you for this question, because this is one of the very hot topics in maternal health, and we want to make sure that we address this. So let's just look at some data. So when we look at the data in the United States from 1987 to 2016, pregnancy-related mortality, and that's deaths that occur during one's pregnancy, the year of their pregnancy, it increased from 7.2 people per 100,000 live births to 16.9. So it has more than doubled. And so if we further dissect this data and look at racial disparities, non-Hispanic Black women are more than threefold higher for death during their pregnancy journey. So 41 deaths per 100,000 live births for Black women. And then when we look at that compared to their white women counterparts, white women have only 13 deaths per 100,000 live births. And so when we want to further look at this information and look at New York State as a whole, and this is from the census report in 2018, New York State ranks 23rd in the nation for mortality rate. And 51.5% of deaths occur in Black non-Hispanic women. 30.3% occur in white non-Hispanic women, 12.1% in Hispanic women, and 6.1% in non-Hispanic women. So again, a closer look at this data, Black non-Hispanic women represent only 15% of the population of live births in New York State. However, they're more than five times more likely to die. So let that just sink in, because that's quite an impactful number.
Let's dig into that after we take a very quick break. Very, very interesting topic. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less. At Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston, and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals. Right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today, our guest is Dr. Ashonda St. John, who is from Health Alliance in Kingston. And we're talking about maternal health and wellness and maternal health disparities. Dr. St. John, before the break, we talked about maternal mortality and the exceptionally high rates among women of color and Hispanic women as compared to their white counterparts. To what do you attribute that?
Well, I think that we have to be cognizant of social determinants of health. And those are the various social issues that can impact a pregnancy, but also impact one's ability to attain health care. And so those include income, health insurance as a whole, education, transportation, residence, homelessness, food insecurities, healthcare access. And then we want to kind of also see how we marry that with how we can create solutions to provide care as a whole to all people, but make sure that's care that's layered in respect and empathy and compassion. And so also the social understanding that sometimes there's additional needs besides a medical prescription that is needed for one to have a healthy outcome of their pregnancy. And so at Health Alliance, we have several different programs that we have instituted that are along with New York State that kind of tries to bring forth a remedy to these issues so that we can provide more inclusive care, transformative care, and just deliver quality and safety to our patients.
Mm-hmm. You know, at the Department of Health, as you know, and maybe the public doesn't, but we keep a lot of statistics and data on population health, the general health of the community. And so we look at those, you know, health outcomes that are unusually worse than others. And, you know, we see almost across the board with every chronic disease condition, and even with opioid use disorder and even mental health issues, that those social determinants play a huge part. Because if you look at household incomes under $25,000 a year, you see chronic disease rates almost doubling, and in some cases tripling those of other families. And so, you know, we've learned that you can't, you know, that it's not just a matter of changing health behaviors, that you can't take an individual or a family out of the total context in which they live their lives and expect them to do better. You have to address all of their barriers and challenges. And one of the things you mentioned was unconscious, in the notes that you provided, was unconscious bias in healthcare. Tell us about that.
Well, we want to make sure that there aren't any biases that impact the care that's provided to patients. And as you said, there are so many things that are beyond the control of our patients in terms of their, you know, their housing or their income or their food insecurities. And so if we do not create a multidisciplinary approach where that we're addressing the biopsychosocial needs of our patients, then we're not kind of helping them in kind of a comprehensive, patient-centered, patient-focused manner. So we want to look at how we can provide those care needs that our patients have. And one of the things that we've learned during this global pandemic is the elevation of the telemedicine platform. This is an opportunity to provide healthcare that is in the luxury of our patients' homes. So their transportation needs or their in-person attendance is not necessarily required. And it kind of provides more of an ease. And so we've learned that we can provide telepsychiatry via the telemedicine platform. We can even provide some of the visits that we have for patients. One of the things that we do at our practice is that a week after delivery, we like to see the patients. And this is whether it's a vaginal delivery or a C-section, because we want to provide depression screening, lactation support, blood pressure monitoring, wound care needs. And those visits can also be done on a telemedicine platform, which helps a new mom who has had sleep deprivation, who has a newborn baby, who may have difficulty getting to a doctor's office, but also addressing the needs that may happen. We have to be understanding that there are postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, there is difficulty in breastfeeding. We want to provide that additional layer of support to our pregnant women, but also see how we can kind of provide a multifactorial, patient-centered approach that addresses all the needs of our patients, because we're understanding of the impact of social determinants of health can have on a person.
I mean, even under the best of circumstances, being a new mom for the first time is can be bewildering, right? I mean, you just don't, first of all, you don't know what you don't know, so you might not even have to know the right questions to ask. Right. But then if you have all these other challenges with transportation and, you know, safe and affordable housing and worrying about if you're going to have nutritious food available, et cetera, that can be a really heavy lift. And you know, we're so fortunate to have, you know, providers such as you and your practice to help women in that world. So so if a woman is seeing, you know, and I don't want to get into criticizing any other providers, of course, by name, but generally speaking, how does a woman know if the practice that she may be going to is not, you know, it is engaging in some kind of unconscious or implicit bias?
And that's a tough one, you know, because that may be something they may experience while they're already at the practice. And so I tell patients sometimes they have to have their own self-advocacy. And sometimes, you know, you may have to interview. I always tell my patients, I'm part of your team. You selected me to be part of your team. So you want to select your team very strategically. You want to make sure that they have the business hours that work for you, that they have, you know, the empathy and compassion that you would need and want. You want to make sure that there is kind of after-hour ability to access an on-call physician or midwife. Is there information about doula referrals and, you know, or support people? You know, you want to make sure that you interview the practice that you're receiving care to make sure that they supply all the needs that you may want. You know, is there an opportunity for childbirth classes? Is there an opportunity for breastfeeding classes or lactation support or lactation consultation? So, this part is sometimes difficult for our patients to navigate because, you know, their insurance providers may only limit them to a certain amount of obstetricians, gynecologists, or family medicine providers. And so we want to encourage our patients for self-advocacy and making sure that they understand that, you know, sometimes there is an opportunity to get a second opinion or change the course of the direction if they feel that they're not receiving the care that they need, the empathy that they deserve, or the compassion that they have a right to.
Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, just in my own personal experience in life that, you know, dealing with professionals, you know, highly skilled people, whether they be attorneys or doctors, what have you, or accountants, whatever, is, you know, I've run into a few here and there who have been like, you know, I'm the expert and you're not. And just so listen to what I say and don't ask any questions. You know, I mean, that's the worst case scenario, right? So that is just something that we don't want to happen in this case.
We want a patient, you know, I completely understand what you're saying. And I've heard that many times from patients. And it really makes me sad because we want a patient to leave their physician or their provider's office feeling empowered, feeling listened to, feeling that they received respectful care. They want to leave there, especially that sensitive time of pregnancy. We want them to feel good about themselves and the care that was provided to them. So, you know, I really encourage our patients, like even to attend childbirth classes, which I must say that we offer to all of our patients delivering at Health Alliance. In addition to that, also thinking about birth plans, and we provide a skeleton birth plan, and it's an opportunity to provide education about what's going to happen during the laboring experience. But self-advocacy is very important. I think also being selective of your team. Remember, we're selected to be part of your team.
That's really great. And you know, it's so fortunate to have you. And, you know, we are running out of time. And I do want to make sure that folks know how to get in touch with you. You're a model of what good care really is and looks like. So, you know, really appreciate it. So tell our listeners where you are and how to get in touch.
Oh, absolutely. So I am Dr. Ashonda St. John. My office is 373 Broadway, Kingston, New York. And my phone number is 845-303-1132. My office is directly across from the Broadway campus of Health Alliance Hospital. We are accepting new patients, and we would be happy to serve you if you give us the opportunity.
That's wonderful. And listeners, if you tune in next week to Healthy Ulster Radio, we're going to be welcoming Dr. St. John back again to really elaborate on many of the things she talked about today and to go into more detail as to what services and programs she and her associates and her practice offers. So Dr. St. John, thank you so much for the great work you do. We really appreciate it. It's lovely to have you. And we'll see you next week. Tune in to Healthy Ulster Radio for more great information that you can use to keep yourself your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.